Okay, good. So we'll begin, and some other people might come as we start the call. Just so you know, that might happen. If you do drop out, just sort of a few technical points to begin with. Yeah, if you do drop out, just call back in again. That's fine. I'm recording the call, so I can share it with other people who registered later on, and with yourselves, so you can watch it again. Well, listen to it. I actually share this audio. Yeah, any questions about Zoom before we just get into the rest of it? I think everyone's okay there. Good. So big welcome to you all. Radical welcoming. That's our theme for tonight's free seminar. I'll say a little bit more about that, a bit more about myself in a minute. What I always like to start with, actually, at the beginning of every workshop and every seminar I do, is a bit of guided, I guess, focusing moment of just arriving in oneself. So you're really using the flavor, the qualities of focusing to, yeah, begin to settle, begin to arrive in your experience and arrive together. So I'll lead us in that, like just a couple of minutes. So for the purposes of this, just feel free to be comfortable. You can have eyes open or closed, I don't mind. And yeah, let my guiding impact you if it wants, if it fits, and if it doesn't, just let it go over your head. Just treat it as a couple of minutes to settle and kind of tune into yourself a bit, if you like, greet yourself. Well, I'm going to be muting everyone just at this moment also to keep background noise to a minimum. Great. So yeah, eyes closed or open, either way, but finding a comfortable place to, or way of posture in your body, just noticing that. I'm beginning just to take in this moment, and normally how I invite people to start that is just by noticing the contact with whatever they're sitting on or supported by, feeling the chair, the floor, whatever you're in contact with that's holding you, notice that, and the weight of your body there, and the sense of support beneath you or behind you. And from there, noticing the rest of your body edges to start with, so noticing your clothes and your skin, where you can feel the air maybe. So feeling that the posture, shape of your body, and your body in the room, noticing the room around you. Even with your eyes closed, you can sense the space. You know it's there. Your body knows it's there. And then inviting you to take a quality of curiosity inside. How is it right now? In the inner landscape of your body. Maybe there are sensations that call or are difficult for you. Tightness or pain or... So just noticing, not going into it deeply, just noticing. And maybe there are places that feel easy or more relaxed or soft. Or maybe there are feelings, emotions that are kind of stirring in you that you might know what they're about or not know at all. Or things in your life dominating your awareness, that's also included. What we're thinking, that's also in our body in a way, you know, it's in our inner experience. So noticing just how you are, the weather, the flavor of how you are right now, different textures, in a curious, an interested way. So I'll leave a bit of space just for a minute for you to continue. And I'll let you know when we're finishing. And then gently bringing that to a close. If your eyes have been closed, opening them, looking around. And maybe adding in here, you know, everything is welcome. It's part of our theme, isn't it? That we might think, oh, I should have felt something or been felt good or calm. That's not at all what's the aim of anything like that. It's just noticing, just noticing. And that's very much the spirit of focusing practice. Okay. So welcome. Just give you an overview of what we're doing tonight. The overall topic is what I call radical welcoming, how every part of you is worthy of acceptance. So we're going to look at four different topics. One is what, just to explore a little bit what we find hard to welcome, just kind of get a bit of insight and awareness into that. And then we'll look at a little bit about why we radically welcome, like how, in other words, something about how change happens. How do we change something? And then we'll look at how. So just a little bit of a practice piece, a takeaway piece that you'll be able to use from focusing that hopefully will help you to begin to do some of this. And yeah, no, plenty of time for questions as well. There'll be moments for questions, which you can use a chat to do or just unmute yourself and speak. That's fine also. And maybe just like a sentence about myself. So yeah, my name is Peter Gill. I'm a focusing teacher and also somatic experiencing practitioner. Really just what really I love about these practices is they're all about being curious and getting beneath the kind of stories that we usually have about life and ourselves. I'm a useless person or I'll never be good at that. And this, they're that kind of person. And the kind of painful sometimes stories, and to get into our direct experience and a kind of magic and wisdom that can be felt in when we touch our direct experience through the, I'll say through the body, but through a kind of, yeah, let's say through the body, but I mean body in a very broad way, not just sensation, but the way the body speaks to us. So welcome, Michael, who's just arrived.
Hi.
Hi. Let's begin with a bit of a brainstorm. So, how I do this is there's a chat function. There's a kind of depending on what device you're using. If you're not using one that does easily does chat, we'll have to work our way around it. But what I'm going to use, I'm going to just open it and just say hello on it. Give me a moment. You'll see this, and a message goes out to everyone. So it's like a kind of whiteboard, really. Hello. So you should see it pop up. So this chat function is a way of sharing words and ideas. So I've got a question, and you can either answer it by speaking, in which case I'll just type it on the chat anyway, or just chat into it to everyone. And if you want to answer the question anonymously, because the question's a bit, could be one you might want to answer without everyone knowing. You can just choose to chat it to me, and then I can put it on the whiteboard. It'll make sense when you hear the question why you might want to do that. So then I can read it out without saying who says it. It's just, oh, someone says this. So the question is, which will just to gather some material really and some for our exploration. The question is, as honestly as you want to answer this question, what part of you would you rather not have? I don't mean like finger or leg. I mean some inner part of you. What part of you would you rather not have? Like, does that question make sense? No, we'll just pause there, does it? Yeah, or feeling. What feelings would you rather not have? So I'm going to kick us off, to be honest. And I don't mind putting this out in public. The part of me that shouts at my son. Okay. I don't do it all the time. But sometimes I lose my temper and I shout at my son because of whatever. Yeah. So that's an example. So feel free to, yeah, just put feelings, parts of you, words in there that parts or feelings you'd rather not have, and let's brainstorm that a little bit. Yeah, the part of me that feels insecure and likes to hide. Thank you, yeah. The part of me that worries about being evaluated, yeah. Thank you. I mean, you can see it, and I'm reading it also for those people who may not get the chat. The part of me doesn't want to get up. Yeah, the part of me needs everything to be perfect. Yeah. I'm going to type in up any despairing feelings. The part that is afraid. Yeah. Yeah, right. Partly your acts before thinking. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Makes a lot of sense. A part of me that is ill and vulnerable, yeah. Yeah, the inner critic and external judge, yeah, that's something we get into, isn't it? The part of me that withdraws from others when scared, yeah, exactly. Yeah, part of me that never feels good enough. Thank you, everyone, for sharing this and putting it out there. So there's already a lot there. That's great. I really appreciate your honesty and just sharing that. And what to say here? One thing that strikes me, well, that's the part of me that never feels good enough, inner critic, exactly, yeah, is that I feel a little bit of relief, like, oh, wow, great, I have lots of other people have these parts too. That feels like, oh, right, nice. You know, we often think that maybe I know, or we might believe somehow we're the only one that deals with these problems. And I've not met anyone who doesn't struggle with this kind of thing, with these parts. That's why I run what I do, why I teach what I do. But here's a second question to add in to here, or to just reflect on a bit, and I'll be curious to hear any responses. So the question would be, so are any of these parts of you, anyone's listed here, are they beyond some kind of getting to know or acceptance or empathy or love even? Are any of these things parts of us we need to exile forever, or even maybe, or even are they evil? You know, you might even use that language, I don't know. Are they really that bad? I mean, they feel bad, but are they something that we couldn't ever get to know a bit more? Or would it be just better if we could get rid of them? Just curious as to if there's any response to that. Yeah, right. Part of me that ill, it's hard to understand with something physical. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that is much more, much harder. Yeah. So there maybe there's a difference I want to draw here. It's a good point to bring in a sort of subtle but helpful distinction. Is, when I'm talking about radical welcoming or acceptance, it's not like we are saying to any of these things, "Oh yeah, these are great and these are wonderful, and you can run my life." Like, that's not what we're saying. Or that they should feel great or anything like that. And there's a difference between accepting our inner feelings and processes and then acting from them. Like, it's not that's not like it's not okay for me to shout at my son. And I know we all do it. I'm not harsh on myself about it, but I don't, it that's not really, to me, that's not really what parenting should be about. But I accept the part of me that does it, and I'm kind towards that. So there's a difference between acting out and having it. And what I'm talking about is this inner curiosity, is welcoming the parts of me that have it. So that's an important distinction here. So I'm just going to read a couple more comments. Yeah, they probably need to serve more. Yes. Some feel anxiety overwhelming and really hard to sit with. So yeah, so some of our feelings and parts are really hard to sit with, are really hard to be with, are hard to bear. And so, and we'll come on to this later on, how we can do it. That's exactly what we're looking at. How can we be with these parts of us that we'd rather not have? These feelings that would that. How can we welcome it? I was working with someone yesterday, and they were feeling this. It might have been this morning, and they said, "Feel this." They felt this real longing. And I invited them just to acknowledge it, and they went, "But I hate it." That's the first thing they said. "But I hate having this feeling." So yeah, then we explored that. Yeah, so we'll look at this more later. How do we sit with these parts of us? I want to share a quote. I talk a little bit about how change happens, and then we'll pause for questions. Because this quote is important. This is from Eugene Gendlin, the developer of focusing. So he says, "What is split off, not felt, remains the same. When it is felt, it changes. Most people don't know this. They think that by not permitting the feeling of their negative ways, they make themselves good. On the contrary, that keeps these negatives static, the same from year to year. A few moments of feeling it in your body allows it to change. If there is in you something bad or sick or unsound, let it inwardly be and breathe. That's the only way it can evolve and change into the form it needs. If there is in you something bad or sick or unsound, let it inwardly be and breathe. That's the only way it can evolve and change into the form it needs." So this really speaks to this tendency we have, I had for many, many years, of pushing away bad feelings. Like, if I didn't feel good, I wanted to push those away. I use meditation to do it, for example. You don't have to use meditation to do it, but I misuse, you could say, meditation to do that, to try and make myself feel calm. Like, if only I could get rid of that feeling, these anxiety feelings, anxiety, then I'd feel better. And it never worked. It never, maybe it brought me a little bit of relief, and I learned other things from it. For example, the meditation, but it didn't really resolve the issue. It didn't really it didn't help me form any relationship with that anxiety, to use that example. And here, Eugene Gendlin, developer focuser, is inviting us, and focusing is inviting us, is to, for a few moments, feel it in the body. Feel it directly, really, is what he's saying. That's the only way it can evolve and change into the form it needs. So often we want to, we think we can change, make change happen just by willing it. I just want it to change, or we hope it will go away, or we push a feeling away, or we punish ourselves, or we tell ourselves a story about an idea. This is another thing I had with spiritual practice, is, "Oh, it's just my ego. I tried to get away from it in that way, and it never really, again, never really worked." Yeah, there's a comment, "It's complex. I don't give myself enough time to sit with it." Yeah, that's right. We rarely give ourselves any time. I don't, even me as a focusing teacher. So life is so full, isn't it? Unless I'm actually focusing, which I'm glad I do. Just sit with it and be curious. Yeah. So change comes when we can form a direct relationship with something. It's like we can touch it in some way. Now, touching it isn't the same as being overwhelmed by it or letting it run our life. It's like we have to get to know it. This is why these other methods don't work. We don't know, pushing it away, exiling it, pretending we don't have it, hiding it. They never really resolve what's happening. What works is a slow and moment by moment getting to know something in a direct way. Which in a way you could say is welcoming. It begins with that. Oh, right. This is here. This part of me, or this experience. This is what's true right now. Now I'm going to pause for a bit because maybe some questions have come, and then we're going to do a little practice around this, and I'll show you a bit more. But just pausing for questions that might fit here. And please, you can type them or speak them. That's fine. Okay. Yeah, I'm never quite sure what it's meant by being curious about. That's right. Maybe I'll this is a moment for a question. Who here is new to focusing? I've never done it much. Okay, one person. Maybe done yet? Great. Okay, that's fine. That's completely what it's meant for. But that'll help me answer this question. So being curious is, I suppose, well, there's two parts. One is about how we relate to it, which I'll come to in a minute. But also there's just a kind of developing a vocabulary or something of like when we have an experience, we often get stuck in a story. So say it's anxiety, like I feel anxious, that's it. And then that's how it is. So being curious, the opposite of that I would say is being curious. And it'd be like, okay, what am I actually feeling at the moment? What is this experience of it in this moment? Not what it was yesterday when I was having a panic attack or something, or not what it I think it means. Like what is it right now? Like, oh, what is it? It's like electricity in my body, and it's like a tightness in my breath, and oh yeah, there's a kind of maybe a worry or something in my mind, and you sit with it and you be curious. So it's like getting beneath the story and into what it's actually like in the moment. So like in the moment is really important. It's not a story about it, it's what we feel. And right in a minute we'll look at what we do if we can't be curious. Because obviously sometimes that's one reason why it's hard to be curious. It's like, well, I don't like this feeling. Why would I be curious about it? So curious is kind of getting, let's say, getting beneath the story and finding a fresh way to describe it in direct experience. This is what led to the development of focusing. That we were researching how change happens in therapy. And what they discovered was those people who stopped and paused when they were speaking and went, oh, is it true? You know, when I say I feel ashamed of what I've done, you know, and they would just, it's not really ashamed. It's more like sorrow. I feel sorrow. You know, they'd search for a word. They'd be kind of feeling into their direct experience. And those people made progress. The ones who could pause and go, what's actually happening? Rather than just tell a story. Well, a story that's disconnected, let's say. So, you know, a little bit about curiosity. I love curiosity. It's kind of where we begin all the introductory workshops, is exploring this quality. I think of being curious is like I'm right now of each of you. Exactly, yeah. Think of a child who's never seen something before and, oh, what is that? We get so used to ourselves, don't we? We get so used to ourselves. that we think we know ourselves, but it's not so simple. We talked a little bit about the parts that are difficult to be with, and we talked a bit about change, how it happens through direct contact, through curiosity. So I want to talk a bit more about how we can welcome difficult parts of us, because anyway, it might be easier to welcome laughter and joy and perhaps, and yeah, it's really what it's hard is when there's things that are painful and tricky. So I want to share a tool with you from focusing. Some of you might have come across it before, and it's a tool of it's a sort of inner movement. It's a kind of inner shift of perspective that is evoked through language. So I'm going to invite you on just a short reflection, where I'm going to invite you to say something in two different ways inside of yourself. Say it one way and then say it the other way. And to notice the difference. To notice the difference. Because sometimes a shift in the way we say something, the way it can help us shift our relationship with it. So this is like a guided reflection. And for the purposes of this reflection, you'll need to choose a kind of feeling or sensation word that's a bit difficult, in a difficult spectrum. Not your most difficult thing, but my, like, you know, maybe anxiety or like tightness or impatient or something you're experiencing right now or something you experience in your life regularly, a slightly difficult feeling or sensation, also emotion, sensation. You don't have to tell anyone about it. You don't have to share it with anyone. It's just an internal exploration. I'm going to invite you in a way of, yeah, just saying it to yourself in two different ways and seeing what happens. So before I do that, just checking that made, does that make sense? Everyone got a word? Great. Anxiety is a pretty good one to choose if you have it at all, because most of us have it to some extent. But yeah, you might have your own one. But yeah, first of all, just again, check in with your body. Let your body come to a rest in wherever you're sitting, and really noticing, getting the support of the chair around you and the room around you, even imagining that bigger landscape around you, wherever you are in the world. Sensing your breath in the body as well, the heart, the belly. And then inviting you to just to drop in a sentence using a word like, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling tight, whatever. And just let it. Just say it two or three times, and just let it drop in, and just see what happens in your body. So be curious about a kind of, or just the feel of it, the quality of it. So, yeah, dropping it in, I feel anxious, whatever your word is. Notice the sense of it. And then pausing for a moment. Instead of saying I feel or I'm feeling, say something in me. Something in me is feeling anxious or tight. Something in me feels. And notice the difference, if any, in the feeling of it, the sense of it. Something in me feels sad. So bringing that to a close. So noticing if there was some sense of difference between saying it one way and saying it another way. I'll be curious to hear what you experienced, and it may not have brought any shift, and that's fine. It's not like a magic thing, but it might have. You might have noticed some feeling of difference between the first way and the second way. And if you did, well, how would you describe that? So you can either chat or answer just by unmuting yourself. So you can see the chat there, put that. You can put an example down. Oh yeah. My whole body instantly softened and then I felt nurturing toward that part of me, right? That's quite a shift, isn't it? Quite a difference. Yeah. It's not always so obvious, but that's great. So you felt softer and then you felt nurturing. Yeah, I felt kind of settling, like it was kind of like big or something, and it just got a bit less big. It was kind of subtle. Yeah, feeling slightly less overwhelmed by the feeling. Yeah, exactly. That's very often how it goes. A bit like I was describing, it's like a bit anxious, it's big, and it's feeling less of a danger situation, more perspective. So this part's quite, a little bit of distance, not pushing away, not overwhelming, but in the middle, exactly. This gives us this kind of being with. So yeah, it's not like often what we do with a part of us is like, okay, I just push it away, then I'll feel better, just like Gentlin said. Or we're just overwhelmed by it. It's like, oh, just completely subsumed in it. And neither of those are bad, but they're not so helpful. Being with rather than in, exactly. Think about a bit less overwhelming. It was no longer my entire being in that moment, exactly. So when we make this movement, it's like an inner movement of kind of getting bigger, let's say, or something, we're evoking, and then we can be with that part of us. I'm going to give you a visual for this, so excuse me for some people, if you don't like soft toys, so I have to use soft toys to demonstrate this. So this is a lemur, you know, big eyes, scared. You can see this. I used to feel scared a lot, I still do sometimes. So yeah, typically I would get taken over by that, and it would mean I wouldn't do things, I wouldn't go out, I wouldn't do stuff that was threatening, you know, I'd be taken overwhelmed by that part of me. And then I learned to, oh, something in me is scared. So it's like I feel scared is like all of me, something in me, it's a part of me. So it's still there, like it's on my shoulder, this little demo. And then when it's something in me, then I can be a bit more curious about it. So this is a shift it brings. You're in relationship to it. So this is really the first step of welcoming, possibly. So, right, it's not all of me. I'm here, and this is a part of me that feels scared. So that's a kind of visual for it, like, right, there it is. And then I can listen to its story or listen to what it's worried about or what it's scared of or what's worrying it, you know, like what's really underneath all of that. And that's so helpful. You give it empathy. You know, there's lots more move. You know, there's a whole movement of things you can do in focusing once you can be curious about it, be with it. So, yeah, I mean, and you can, and you know, the other thing that is implied by what people have said is, well, you get to notice what else is going on in your body. Maybe there's pain, but oh, actually, elsewhere I'm feeling okay. Or like, I don't feel safe, I feel panicky, but oh, actually, my hands and arms, they do feel all right. They feel less like that. They feel strong. The trouble is the difficult feelings and sensations is our awareness often narrows around it, because that's how we're, one of the ways in which we're wired, you know, evolutionary speaking, is when something's dangerous or is or where our resources are limited because of being vigilant, or all sorts of, you know, our awareness is very narrow. We noticed a difficult bit and nothing else. So this makes a big space. Oh, something in me. So that's part one. But maybe we've got something that's hard to welcome. Maybe even if you go, oh, something in me feels insecure, but I hate it. You know, that might be the next, like, but I hate having this thing. So what do we do then? So then we have another part of this. So this is the next piece I want to talk about. So something in me feels scared. Let's use that example. And I hate that feeling. I wish it would go away. So that is another part of you. So this is where the radical part of the talk comes in. That is also welcome. The part of you, I'm going to use this animal, kind of crazy monster, critical part, let's say, hates that feeling. So it isn't you that hates it. Also, that's not all of you. It's something else in me hates it. So something in me feels scared, and something else in me hates that feeling. It wishes it would go away. So you are not that also. That is another part of you. So anything with an agenda, anything with a judgment or criticism or pushing away is just another part of you to welcome. You might be impatient with it. You might hate it. You might want to make it go away. You might think it's the worst thing in your life, you know. That's another part of you. And you, if you like, are the kind of bigger container that holds them all. You know, this is our amazing human potential to, I don't know what you call it, be present to our experience in a way where we're not identified with it. This is such a useful thing to learn, you know, and I'm still learning. This capacity to get, all right. Something in me is really scared right now, and I'm going to be curious about it and notice it. I use this tool every day in some form or another, not necessarily the whole focusing piece, but just this piece of it. Like when I get triggered by a situation, or I'm having a lot of struggles around parenting at the moment. So it's a very, very, very relevant place in which things get triggered. And I'm like, oh, something in me feels really furious. And I don't have to act on it. I go, all right, there it is in my body. I can feel that rage. Hello to the part of me that feels that. I really get it. And then I can take a breath and I can move on and not act on it. So yeah, something in me is feeling furious. Something in me doesn't like it. So if we have we have many parts. And maybe the four questions are just, so a little bit more about why would we welcome them? Well, because they're all valuable. You know, they're part of us anyway. You know, we can't really get rid of them by just wanting to get rid of them. It doesn't work. Which I wish you weren't here. But also, there's our energy. There's something living in there. In fact, there's something really important in these parts of us. The parts that are scared, the parts that are being pushing away that scared, they hold a kind of life energy that once you really get underneath, this is my real experience, once you really get into it and find an empathic way of being with it, it really, really releases it. It transforms it. So every part of you holds some bit of treasure. Even as parts of us that might be, we might think are ugly and we wouldn't want anyone to know about, or some part of us might really judge. And it's quite, for some people, it's quite a radical jump to think there are no enemies inside of us. This is my experience so far. I haven't found an enemy. I found parts that are really hard to be with. But that's different. They're not enemies. They're not trying to harm me. So radical welcoming, every part of you is welcome. The parts of you that hate things, the parts of you that are terrified, the parts of you see as a part, you be curious about it and take it from there. So I'm going to pause and see if there's any questions coming from that. About anything I've said. And remember, welcoming isn't the same as acting on them. unconsciously. This is different.
Yeah, I have a question. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about this other part of me maybe hating this part that's scared. And this is really radical for me. I've done focusing for a while, but I'm always only focused on one part.
Yeah, right.
And I'm having a hard time imagining being in this place of like being triggered and having the wherewithal to sit with these both parts. This first one here, and then noticing that also there's this other part. So I guess maybe you could speak a little bit more to that and like how it might look, or I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you're talking about, like, say that you to use that example of being triggered. Like, are you asking, like, in the moment, how do you do that, or how do you do it in focusing?
I guess it's a little bit of both there, because I'm obviously wanting to catch myself in the accepting rather than acting out in. But I guess there's more to it than that I'm
doing. Yeah, that's right. I think that let's talk about it in focusing for a while, and then maybe just sort of segue that into talking about it in a real life, well, not real, you know, in the moment, in the heat of the moment, let's say. So this is what happens when I'm doing focusing. I might notice a feeling, and I'm being curious about it. What does it feel like in my body? Just in a way, just like that quote says, a few moments of feeling in your body. But then I'm noticing I'm having a hard time doing that. That's quite hard. I don't, like, oh, okay, maybe I don't like it. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Some part of me doesn't like it, and I don't know where I feel that. If you know what I mean, I can't always identify it like in a place or in a. But I know I have this feeling of pushing away. Like, so then I just think, okay, something in me is pushing it away. It doesn't like that feeling. So I just say it out loud often, if I'm doing solo focusing on my own. And I kind of imagine what it's, that part of me that doesn't like it. I kind of get into feeling, well, what's that about? What's that like? It's like, oh yeah, it just wants to push it away. It wants to make my life easier. It wishes I never had this. And I just really listen to it. So I kind of give it an imagined life, or not just imagined in the sense of disconnected, but really trying to feel into that. You know, often the parts of us that don't want to feel things want to protect us. I think somebody mentioned that. You know, they want to stop us feeling bad things. I'm like, okay, that's fair enough. Cool. You know, nobody wants to feel bad, really. So like that part of me is like, I don't want to feel that. It's like, you know, but anyway, it's really about in the moment, sensing it, noticing what it's might be worried about, or what it's scared of, or like, so really getting in touch with it in the direct way. So that's in a kind of spacious context of a focusing session where I might be guided or helped, supported in that process. Now in real life, I say real life, it's not real life, but in a more moment, it's harder, isn't it? You know, we'll get triggered and it's like, oh, I hate, I'm not here again. I hate feeling like this. Like, I've done this so many, you know, we give ourselves a hard time. I don't believe it. I'm in this mess again. So then, well, you know, we try and find a way of bringing a pause in there, in that closer and closer to that experience where we can go, oh, okay, something in me is feeling anxious, and something else in me is wishing this feeling wasn't here. You know, and the more you practice it, the easier it is to do in the moment. That's been my experience. So yeah, so I know I went to a party recently. I'm not great in social situations, and I noticed myself being anxious, and I noticed the kind of, oh, I shouldn't be because I should be having fun. So then, you know, just in that quiet, I don't know how long it took. I didn't measure, but you know, in those seconds, I went, oh, okay. So something in me is anxious, and something in me is straining a bit, pretending I'm not to be. Okay. So then I feel a bit better. And I sort of carry, it's not the anxiety goes away, but I carry it with me more, with more kindness. I'm like, oh yeah, there's that part of me that feels anxious again. It's all right, you can, because I know it a bit. So all the work in focusing that you can do in a more formal, let's say, practice of it can really help in everyday life situation where you're meeting it. So I'm not sure if that's answered your question, but
it has. And yeah. I just wanted to highlight this part that you said that I'm really taking in, and that's the fact that these parts of me also have relationships with other parts of me.
Yeah, right.
just having that information and recognizing that and like consciously, I think is really, really helpful. Like, oh, there might be other parts of me that arise in and around this thing. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Right. Yeah, thanks. That's right. Good. I'm glad that made sense. Yeah, often parts come together. Like we feel angry and then we feel bad because we've been angry, we've shouted. You know, for example, I feel guilty or I shouldn't do, you know, so it, like there comes a piece and it feels like one thing, like that's just a bad feeling. So then we teasing apart what happens in that moment. Yeah, really important. Yeah, anyone, any other questions? Got a bit more time. So just important to think about things rather than feel them. So do not develop good emotional recognition of self feelings. That's right. Yeah. What if it's difficult to feel anything? Say numbness or emptiness. Well, there's a couple of things to speak into that. I think it's even worth saying or trying. I'm not saying it would work, but trying. Oh, something in me feels numb. Actually, when I feel numb, it's definitely a part of me. It might not work for you, but that's one thing to try. That, in a way, numbness is a sort of something to be curious about. Oh, what is that? Even or oh, something in me feels numb. What's that like? Oh, well, it's like a kind of hollow. And for me, it's about not numbness, about not wanting to feel. Like I keep myself away from difficult feelings. That's me. For you, it might be something different. So be curious about the numbness and emptiness. There may be something more there, and maybe it works to say something in me. But then, yeah, you're also talking about many of us aren't really sort of like taught to be in touch with our body or our feelings in a very sort of healthy way. Like you said, we're taught to think about things, so it is a bit of a relearning we're doing in the practice of focusing, which does take time. Also, you know, there's like I work with a lot of people who don't feel much and then learn that there is something going on. And the great thing about focusing, you know, the great thing about radical welcoming, right, is that everything's welcome. So like somebody might show up, work with me here, I don't feel anything. And so, okay, I'll just be, what do you notice? And I go, oh, well, I've got this tight feeling in my head and this kind of buzzy, anxious quality, but I'm not feeling anything. but then they just said what they were feeling. They said that what was happening. So there is nearly always something happening there, but we may be so used to it. And you can work with anything in focusing, like thoughts. You can find a way of being curious about those, describing those. It's really interesting. Focusing is a very, very open field in terms of what. We may not feel anything in our body, but we feel something. And there's lots I could say about numbness and emptiness, but that's something about it. So we can. My experience is you can be curious about anything eventually. If you've welcomed the part of you that doesn't like it, then you can be curious about it. And there's always more. But yeah, good. Thank you. Quite good. Your helpful question. So I wanted to say a little bit here just about. I'll do that. Oh, okay. One more comment. Yeah, much more involved spiritual practice. That were really skills in spiritual bypassing of emotions. Yes, I can really relate to that. Paul, very much so. I didn't know I was doing it at the time. Maybe like you, we get well, they're attracted to us maybe because we get to bypass those parts of the song that we'd rather not have. Yeah. So I did that for many, many years. So I'm very familiar with that. Rise above it. You know, we want to get beyond it or above it or transcend it or. And it's not to say there's nothing in there, spiritual traditions, all those teachings, but yeah, how we use them there's a lot of subtlety in it, and we can easily use it to bypass exactly things we'd rather not have. So I touched a little bit on focusing as a practice, because there's a couple of people here, relatively new. Does it give a bit of a flavor of the whole thing? So yeah, and very broadly, it's like it's a way of being. You know, for some people are more in touch with than others. This is being bodily curious and noticing what I felt senses, I felt quality. Well, like, I think many more embodied cultures would just be like, well, I do this all the time. You know, it's a human thing. But most of us have lost touch of it because of our conditioning and our upbringing and all sorts of other factors. So yeah, it became a practice that was developed, you know, as recognized by Eugene Gendlin and others. Like, oh, we can teach it to people, you know, so it's a practice. And a practice is something you can do on your own. You know, there's a structure and a form to the practice. It's very loose in many respects, but lots of different ways of doing it. But there's a kind of steps to it, and you can do it on your own, informally, just in a moment, like I was talking about, like when we're overwhelmed or something, or to sit down and go, okay, now I'm going to do some focusing, and you can lead yourself through a process, a guided process, or you can do it in partnership. So that's a really lovely way of practicing it, and the way, main way I practice. So you have a focusing partner or many focusing partners, and you spend time. One person speaks and shares what they notice. Oh yeah, I'm noticing some part of me that feels anxious, and it's like electricity, and they're kind of exploring in this curious way. And, you know, their focusing partner is just listening to you without any judgment or agenda. They're not giving you advice or saying, well, have you thought about this? Or, oh, well, it'll get better in the end. Or, you know, the kind of normal conversational responses that we might have. It's not a conversation. They just listen to you with empathy, without advising, without getting in the way. It's a lovely, really a lovely way of being with somebody and being with somebody and having someone with you like that. It's such a lovely gift. Just listening without any other stuff getting in the way. I started doing it with my son. Just not very formal focusing the whole process, but I just call it, oh, let's just have a listening minute. And I just listen to him for a minute. You can say whatever you like and I won't answer back. It's a real gift, you know, to offer that to someone. So they say the focusing partnerships, a lovely way of practicing focusing. Yeah, and it also gets mixed in with other things. Therapists mix it in with therapy or counseling. It gets mixed in with body work like shiatsu or other, or with spiritual practices, with creative practice. It's a great thing to make other things go better. It's a lovely practice to do that. So it gets mixed in a lot. Yeah, so that's just a little bit about focusing. And you can learn focusing with me. I do online courses. I've got one coming up in the end of this month, 28th. So I'll email you details about that with an offer around that as well later on. So it's a 6-week course, 5-week course. So 10 hours of training. It just gives you the basics, the bare bones of the focusing practice, how to focus in partnership. And you'll come away with some real skills that you can take into the rest of your life there. So I'll email out that with a link to this recording also. Yeah. Anything else? Any last minute questions before we finish? About anything that I've said or any aspect of focusing? Okay, so that's the end of our time. Get in touch if there's questions following up from tonight's seminar. Please feel free to get in touch. You see my email address. If you've registered, you'll have that. I hope to see some of you around in the focusing world. You'll hear from me soon with an email with the recording. So great, good to be with you, and see you. See you again. There's another seminar. Actually, one more thing. There's a seminar on Monday. What have I called it? It's how to get out of your head and into your body, something like that. I can't remember the exact title, but it's about, again, about focusing, but a different perspective, really, about benefits, I guess, of what happens when we listen to the body rather than stay in story. So yeah, if you want, you can unmute yourself and say thank you, or just do it on the chat, I don't mind. But yeah, see you again another time. Thank you.